1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I think we got a visit with Herb Sewell later on in the hour. Mr. Sewell is a contributor to our program, but we've had a lot of controversy with him because he is a convicted child molester. He did 8 years in a psychiatric hospital. He is now out and contributes on occasion to our program when a news story warrants. He'll be with us this hour. Coming up as well will be a gentleman who is suing his church, his wife, his best friend, the church's pastor. And why? Well, because the Halloween costume party that he went to at his church function turned into a racial incident. How does that happen at the church? I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Take a phone call, bud.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to line two. Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Is this the radio?
Yes, sir, it's Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hendry. My name is Lloyd Bonafide, sir. I'm calling your program to let your listeners know that there will be a cotillion this evening at the Alhambra Senior Center, and 50 cents of every dollar will be going to reestablish. Excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous. I didn't know I'd be on the air. I didn't know it'd be so easy to get through your lines.
Well, at the top of the hour, we generally clear our lines out.
Yeah, right. I thought that...
Yeah, just go ahead.
What I wanted to say was, 50 cents of every dollar at the Senior Center Cotillion this evening will go toward the establishment of the Huntington Drive Median Replanting Fund. I don't know if you're familiar with Huntington Drive out in Alhambra, but the median there has gotten very unsightly. And,
all right, well, hold on. I got somebody wants to comment on that.
I beg pardon?
Someone, one of my other callers.
Well, it might be Bill Prestone, who's one of our... I don't know if he's one of our members.
I don't know. Who is this? Where's the gentleman? Who is this?
Yes, sir. Mr. Henry, this is Jeff Dodder. I'm calling from Temple City.
Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
I was listening to your program coming over here because we've got a pool tournament starting at 9 o'clock, and I was listening to your show, and I heard a man on talking about a senior something or other.
Yes, sir, that's me.
What?
Yes, sir. Is the gentleman there?
Yes, sir. My name's Jeff Downer.
Yes. My name's Lloyd Bonafide. We're having a senior center cotillion.
Uh-huh. Well,
did you want to comment on that?
What?
Did you want to comment on that?
Well, I was kind of enjoying your show. You did Skippy and Frank and some other things that I dig, but, I mean, I don't understand. What's a cotillion? What's that about?
Are you addressing me, sir?
Talking on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, but you're talking...
You're talking about this man's senior center cotillion.
Well, I'm not even sure what cotillion sounds like. Something that you buy to stimulate your organ with or something.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Who am I speaking with?
My name is Lloyd Bonafide. I'm with the Alhambra Senior Center, and I was talking about a cotillion.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, doesn't the word cotillion sound like something that you tickle your area with? Or,
sir, can I...
Hold on for a minute, man. A cotillion's a dance.
What?
It's a dance.
What? Are you hard of hearing? It's a dance for the seniors that we're having.
Yeah, well, don't cry about it, man. I'm
not crying. Do I sound like I'm crying?
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to weep because nobody cares about... You know, people going down and old people humping on a linoleum floor someplace in Alhambra.
Boy, oh boy, if that doesn't tear it.
No, hold on for a minute.
No, I called your program with the very best of intentions to promote the senior center.
Wait a minute, man, I'm listening to the Phil Hendry Show, not you. And
what, are you some kind of a jackball? Yes, I am listening. Why do you think I called?
I don't know, man.
Listen to him belch. Have you been drinking, sir?
What?
Have you been drinking, sir?
Yeah, I had a frosty one about a half an hour ago. Had a little drink about an hour ago, and it's good.
Mr. Henry, I had no idea that alcoholics were privy to the content of your programming. Thank you very much, and good day.
What a pussy.
What's that?
Said what, you're a puss?
Oh, boy, are you for real? You are some kind of a turd, aren't you?
Well, it does sound like you're going to weep, sir. Look,
I'm a Korean War veteran. I don't cry for anything, and I'm not going to cry for this hippie who's on...
Let me ask you something, man. Don't you ever fire one up? I mean, and by that, I mean partake of an herbal substance so that you can chill your brain out and not be so... Because the whole thing...
I'm not interested in your dope, and all of that nonsense. I'm calling for the cotillion.
It's about the 9 millionth time you said about a cotillion, man. All right, whatever. Who cares? Whatever, whatever, whatever. Hey, Mr. Henry, did you see Dennis Rodman on Fox? He was...
Get out of here, all of you guys. You're giving me a headache. I'm listening to one guy getting his hair cut, another guy in a pool hall. Unreal. Wait a minute, is that you?
Yes, I'm getting a little haircut before my wife Marjorie and I go to the cotillion.
Get out of here. Guy's getting his hair snipped. Turn that up again, bud.
Right, the barbershop?
Yeah. Do we have a direct line?
Yeah, we got a hardwired ISDN line to the to his barbershop.
Oh, great. In case we do a remote broadcast.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah, they had geishas all over the place, Connor. When I got out of the Army, as soon as I got out of the Navy, I mean, I had, Jesus, it must have been 8 or 9 months of straight penicillin.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, you get the drip. And
all right, I, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back in a moment. And
of course, then, you know, I had the crabs, too.
Will you turn that off, man? Because I don't want to hear any more of this guy's life story. 1-800-449-8686. November 11th, our next webcast. Watch and be amazed as we perform our radio show for you on the web. $6.95. If you go to www.philhendryshow.com, we'll tell you how to do all of that. Matter of fact, we should have a brand new banner up there. No, we do not. Doug said to me, hey, Phil, I want to put a banner up for the webcast. I said, that's fantastic, Doug. But why don't you go home for the weekend and drink heavily before you put it up? He goes, oh, okay, thank you. So it's not up yet. this week in history, which is like 2 weeks old, is up. So check that out. And while you're there, please go to our souvenir shop, pick up our best of CD for 2004 and our 2005 soon to arrive. Welcome to our latest affiliate, Free FM in San Diego. Nice to be with you guys. And also see our souvenir shop for other marvelous details. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8. Oh, will you come on?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know what happened? I had a rash that ran from the crack of my... All right.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What happens when a costume event, a holiday event at your local church where everybody is in costume for Halloween, turns into a racial incident? We'll find out tonight on The Phil Hendry Show. It's time now to read some email, and this one comes from a listener in, you got it, Brazil.
I didn't even know you were going to say Brazil.
What's that got to do with it, man?
Because you said, you got it. Like you say, this email comes to Brazil. You got it.
Hey, man, let me just read this and you shut up. There's nothing that says you're the sidekick. Just answer the phones.
You can't say dumb stuff without me saying something.
That ain't dumb. Anyway, this is...
It was really stupid.
Fine, thank you. This is an email from, you got it, Brazil.
Dummy. You got dead air.
Really? Really, bud? Thank you. I didn't know that that's what that's called, dead air. Well, you must have gone to broadcast school to learn that.
So sarcastic when you're wrong.
What does he want? Yeah?
Look, why don't you let the retard...
Oh, shut up. Hello, Phil, from a loyal listener in Brazil. On some days, your show's the only English I get to hear. I live in a rural area, and there isn't much entertainment here. The nearest movie theater is 7 hours away. Having a backstage pass is one of my few luxuries. Keep up the good work. Brian Willott, Barreiras, Bahia, Brazil. Why are you there, Brian? What could you possibly... Are you a missionary, man? Are you doing missionary work, brother? Then why are you listening to our show? Anyway, thank you for your note. Brazil. Always send us a picture if you're calling or you're writing from another country. We want to put it up on a website because it looks cool that we got a listener in Brazil. We got a couple in India. I think we got a couple in China. Got one from Japan. Got a picture from Sweden. Got one from Thailand. Got one from Germany. Got one over there from, Limeytown over in England. Got a few Canucks. You know, you Canadians are foreigners. You can send us some pictures. You're technically foreigners. I mean, you are Americans. But you don't want to be called that, so I'll say that you're either going to be an American or a foreigner. You can't be the same. You don't want to be a foreigner? You don't want us to treat, you know, like a foreigner? Okay, then you're an American. You don't want to be an American? Then you're a foreigner. Stinking, rotten frog. All right, anyway, say, hey, Phil, I logged onto your website and noticed that you were available on podcast. Since your show airs here in Allentown, Pennsylvania, that is, from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., I had to listen to you in bed using headphones. And, of course, I would usually miss half of the show by falling asleep. Thank you very much for that compliment, John. He goes on to say, well, I subscribed immediately. I can now listen to the entire show at work on my iPod during the day, therefore blowing out an entire corporation's investment in me while I sit there listening to your show. And I no longer have to wear my headphones to bed. My backstage pass is a must-have. Thanks, John Lemus. By the way, I was canned the other day while I sat there cleaning my fingernails and listening to your show. Thanks a lot, John. Here's one from Steve. I love your show. I recently checked out Mr. Lickass, Tom Likas's website. He's comb-over boy, for those of you who don't know. If the girls on the site had any less clothing on, it would be porn. Anyway, funny thing of it is, Tom Likas has never been to bed with a woman. Ha ha. You'll laugh your ass off. I know I did. What? Loyal listener Steve. People say to me, how come you always rip on comb over boy? I didn't do it on purpose. They said, you didn't used to work with him? Yeah, I used to work with him over at KFI. The only reason why I do what I do is because he's always ripping on everybody else. He rips on people that I like. And then I would listen to this cat's show, and I would say, how can a guy who talks the way he does, a guy who talks basically through his nose, be ripping on other people? You know what I mean? In other words, isn't there an old saying, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones? So that guy's on there, he's ripping on John and Ken, and he's ripping on Steve Dahl, who there wouldn't be a comb-over boy if there wasn't a Steve Dahl. And this guy's jumping all over Steve Dahl? You know, I mean, comb, you are, what, about the 8 millionth generation of Steve Dahl? I mean, you're like the you're doing his show and you're laughing at him, and you're doing it sounding as if someone has got a cattle probe shoved deep and wide. What is it, man? Don't you ever listen to tapes of your show, honest to God. Did somebody tell you that sounds good when you talk like that? Did somebody say, wow, that is great? Here's the thing about comb. I swear to God, this is the truth. You're not going to believe it, but I'm telling you right now, this is the truth. He knows that everything I'm saying is true. He knows it. He knows everything I'm saying is true. When I say he's a lame ass, he knows he's lame. When I say that he ain't funny, he knows he's not funny. There's no way that guy goes to bed at night thinking he's funny. All that cat does is put on a show which is constructed from spare parts of other people's shows. And one of the spare parts that he stole from Dahl, Stern, a bunch of other guys, is like ripping on the competition. And he does it so bad that he begs to be made fun of. So we do bits with comb boy having sex with his grandmother. What's wrong with that? You know, and then the guy's on the air saying, I don't even know. Somebody said to me the other day, yeah, a comb over was on the air ripping you. What could he possibly be saying, man? I mean, other than, yeah, you know, my ratings. Well, good for you, man. Why don't you take your ratings to your mommy and show them to her, and she's just going to be so proud of you. I would rather be last in the ratings. I would rather have a zero share in the entire national ratings than do your show. What does that tell you, man? Do you understand that I would rather get out of the business than have anything to do with your lame, unfunny show? Ah, forget it.
Wow, you said it.
Shut up.
You all depressed now?
Yeah, I'm depressed. Stinking retard.
Who, me?
No, Likas. All right, dear Phil, I was listening to some of your archives online, and I came across a bit where you and Bob Green, to make a long story short, his wife tried to sodomize him with her ring finger. Anyway, one of the funniest quotes of all time was when Bob said, half of the men in America have Lee press-on nails stuck in their rear ends. Wow! I have that printed on a T-shirt, and I wear it under my police officer uniform nightly. That, along with my Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug in the front seat, because it's about saving lives. Police Officer Hasinger, Portland PD. All right, brother. Phil, this is as close to one of your bits as I've ever seen. Then the guy links something. Concord, New Hampshire. Supporters of a doctor accused of telling a patient she was so obese she might be attractive only to black men picketed yesterday outside a medical board meeting on his case. A patient said, quote, "Me personally, and I know most of my black friends, they admire a woman with a curvaceous figure, and that's known by everybody. At least I thought it was," he said. What? What the hell? I laughed when you read, here's another one. I laughed when you read an email from someone who wrote that he began reading a biography of Alexander Hamilton after he heard you talk about it. I found it funny because I'm currently doing the same thing. And as much as you mock yourself for your constant reading of history books, I usually try to remember the titles of books you mention on your show because they often sound interesting. Thank you very much, Bud Dickman. All right, Bud. No, that's from a guy named Dave. Well, the books that I read, I was thinking of putting a thing on a website, books I read, and then I thought, what? What is that? Here's what Phil's reading. I mean, Oprah Winfrey has got a magazine called O, and my wife subscribes to it, and I don't know why. Honestly, because you know what it is? It's from one page to the very end, How Rich I Am. That's what it should be called. It should be called Here's How Rich I Am, January issue. And because it's every issue, it's got Oprah. The reason why I mention her is, doesn't she have that Book of the Month Club or Book Club? Which is fine. You should read, folks. But I don't want to be the guy to have to tell you to, you know, get a library card. Just go out and buy a book. You go to a thing, they're called bookstores. They're really interesting. I saw one day, and I went in, they had books there. And I said, what are these? And the guy said, they're books. And I said, do I eat them? He says, no, you read them. And I go, wow, like, can I buy them like I do celery? He said, yes, but don't eat them, read them. I said, all right. So I took one, and I looked at it. And it had words, and I said, wow, this is kind of cool, man. It sometimes beats TV, not often, but sometimes beats TV. And I even find myself going to a book when Madden 2005 just gets too much for me. No, I haven't bought 2006.
Why?
Because I don't want to keep, I want to get into Madden 05 for a change, okay?
But you got to get 06. It's got everything's bitching.
Like what?
I don't know. I haven't bought it yet.
Anyway, the book that I'm reading right now, I'm rereading the Battle of Berlin. Yes, I know, it's another Nazi book, but I figure you can never go wrong with Nazi books. I live in America. We got a whole lot of white supremacists running around. Then I'm reading a book called The Fall of the Roman Republic, which I really like that one. And I just got done, I just got done reading another one on Simon Wiesenthal, who was a Nazi hunter. Do you know what he did? I don't know why I got this thing about Nazis, but it's a really cool story about how we kicked their ass and then we tracked their asses down after we kicked their ass, right? Simon Wiesenthal's in a concentration camp and he gets out. And he said, the thing I want to do is I want to get the guys that did this to me and to my family. And the Americans are like, why don't you go get a sandwich first? The guy's like 90 pounds. He goes, nope, I want to do this. All right, okay, Wiesenthal, here's what we want you to do. We want you to go out and help Americans. We'll round them up. He goes and he arrests an SS guy, some scumbag SS guy that, you know, was off living with his wife. Because what half of these guys did is they took their uniforms off and they blended in with the population, went home to their old ladies, sat down, had themselves a big stein of beer and some schnitzel and pretended like nothing happened, right? He goes to the guy's house, finds the dude, and the guy carries around with him a picture of a guy hanging from a meat hook, a Jewish inmate of a concentration camp. And Wiesenthal almost killed the guy. I mean, took like five U.S. MPs to pull him off of this guy. Almost beat this freaking SS guy to death. So from that point forward, he just, there ain't a freaking Nazi alive, man, that was safe from him. He just died like, 3 weeks ago? Wasn't a Nazi alive safe from his ass. He got them all, man. He didn't get Mengele, because Mengele was down there in Brazil, I guess trout fishing. I assume trout fishing, because when they found Mengele's body, or what was left of it, it was sunk in like 5 feet of water. And he had a little lure hat on and a smile on his face with a can of hams. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, the gentleman who is suing his church over the costume he wore to their costume party. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yes, you got to read that. What is this, bud? Well, can we put it on hold while I'm saying something, man? You got to put the calls up right away.
okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right.
What is with you, man? When I say I'll go to a call, I'll go to a call. So anyway, that's the book that I read. It's another book I read. And another one I read was called Beavis and Butthead Do America. That was really cool. And I'm just kidding about that. But when I was having my vasectomy, I was reading it. Did I tell you about that? Getting my vasectomy, and my wife's, you know, this was really important, and so I had a vasectomy. Well, the guy that did it, actually, he had a name like Himmler, you know, now that I think about it. He might have been an escaped Nazi war criminal, for all I know.
Phil, so how are you today?
Real good, Doc. Listen, were you on the Odessa?
You know, it's a couple of things.
What's that code over there? Anyway, so I went in, and he said, oh, yeah, it's a real easy deal. Nowadays, doctors want everything to be just a beautiful thing because they're competing with other doctors. There are dentists who have video games on the ceiling. You ever seen these places? You can lay there while you're getting your teeth drilled, while you've got 16 tubes come out of your nose. You're looking at cartoons or a video game. Now, that's a nice thing, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's a good doctor. So you're going to him because he's a good doctor or because he's got a TV on the ceiling or mirrors on the ceiling, whatever he's got. But this guy was very cool. Himsel, Kyle Himsel, I think is his name. And so I'm laying there. He says, real easy deal, Phil. And I've even got a little bit of a kind of a tradition. I hope you don't mind, Phil. Yeah, really? What's that, man? Now, they give you a Valium before you get a vasectomy. And I don't know why. And I said, I really don't need that. I'm okay. She said, you know what? Just go for it, man. I said, okay. Why do you do that? She says, you'd be surprised at how men are with that area of their body. I can dig that, but as long as the guy doesn't walk in with sheep shears. And she says, well, you know, as a matter of fact, Phil, and she came out with these large hedge trimmers. She goes, that way, please, I'll follow you. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take that Valium now. So I went in, and I'm laying there. Now what they do is they give you a little shot. It's a piece of cake, honest to God. It doesn't hurt nothing. I'm laying there, and the guy says, we got a little bit of a tradition. Now the tube they cut is called the VAS. All right, and...
What's that stand for?
That's why they call it a vasectomy.
Oh.
Jesus.
Well,
yeah. And so the VAS is...
Like spaz?
That's right, bud, like spaz. Anything else? Any other jokes you want to throw in, man, before I finish the story? So the VAS is the thing that's cut. Well, this is this doctor's idea.
Can you still, make it be able to do stuff?
What?
Can you still make it be able to do stuff?
Make what?
Your thing.
Yeah, I can make what? Like tie freaking balloon animals? What do you mean make it do stuff?
The stuff that it does, you retard.
I'm a retard. Yes, it can.
Are you sure?
Yeah, man. No, man, I ain't sure. So the guy says, I have a tradition, Phil. I said, really? What's that? As I'm laying there, and I got a Beavis and Butthead book that I borrowed from my son. And I'm reading. I said, what's that? He says, I have the wives cut the VAS. I said, Jesus, man. Maria's standing right there watching the whole thing go down. I mean, is that what? That's almost, I don't know. Talk about having your, what's in her purse. I'm always making fun of guys for that. Now I have to sit and realize my wife was standing right there making sure the guy did a good job.
Yeah, let me see, Doc. Uh-huh.
So she did. Now, isn't that symbolic of being castrated? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. My wife emasculated me, literally. She stood there and cut the VAS. So anyway, I said, well, that's really great, Doc. Thanks a lot. And all the stuff they told me was bull crap, and I'm telling you that right now. It doesn't hurt, and I didn't have them swollen to the size of freaking beach balls, man, or carry them around in a wheelbarrow, okay?
Yeah, well, they probably were pea-sized to begin with.
All right, man.
Ow! Ow!
I don't care. Go ahead. Tell him.
I will.
So everything was good, and no, I didn't keep a bag of frozen peas on him. Has anybody heard about ice? What the hell, man? You ever hear these people say, and then go home with a bag of frozen peas? Why? Because they're cold. I heard of a thing called an ice pack. Would that help? Oh, okay. First of all, the vegetables I eat, man, are all fresh. I don't buy no frozen stuff. That's A. B, how about just an ice pack? How about a bag of ice?
Well, I never thought of that.
Well, okay. You mean all the guys that come in for vasectomies are so socially and, like, culturally regressive, they'd have never heard of an ice pack? They got to go to the frozen food section and get the Jolly Green Giant and stick him on their thing? Ain't that just a tad homoerotic? Now, why'd I bring this up? I forget. Oh! George Norrie, tonight, Coast to Coast. All right, sir, go ahead. You're on the air on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Henry, how are you doing?
Good.
Mr. Henry, I'm actually in the same barbershop the other gentleman was in. You can hear it in the background.
And so I got the drip.
Is that him in the background?
Yes, that's him talking.
Who are you?
I'm the owner of the barbershop, and I heard him talking to you on your program, so I wanted to call up and make a comment about something else that I had seen in the news.
But I'll tell you, crotch rot is worse.
Could you move away? Could you move away from that guy?
The old gentleman.
Yeah, the old guy that was talking to me, because I can hear everything he's saying to that other barber.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. She was a piece of tail.
What I wanted to say, Mr. Henry, was that I saw something in the news today, which I felt needed to be addressed. Well, I tell you, I took the wind out of my sails. I'll tell you that. The actor on Star Trek that you may have heard of, George Takei, sir?
Yes, he was the guy who played Sulu, right?
That is correct. I have been a Star Trek fan for a long time, and I saw in the news today they wrote a story in which they said that this man is gay, lives with another gentleman by the name of Brad. Okay.
And then another thing she did.
And also,
I can still hear the guy in the background.
I'm sorry.
How long is this guy's hair, anyway?
Who?
This Lloyd guy. He's been getting it cut for 40 minutes.
Oh, he was dragging on the ground when he came in here.
All right.
I'd like to know who they think they are, what they think they're trying to do.
Who's that, sir?
The news gathering people. They're calling this guy a gay. They say he lives with some partner. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he is. According to the...
Do you have that? Do you know that for a fact?
Sir, can I read the story?
I've read the story. I want to know if you know for a fact that the man that played Sulu on one of the greatest television programs that I have ever seen...
Oh, yeah, and then the guy shaved it all off. She called him Q-Ball.
Is gay.
You know, I can't listen to you and hear this other guy while he's getting his hair cut.
Hey, shut up.
What's that?
I said to shut up. I'm on the radio.
You're telling me to shut up?
That's right. Shut your old, shriveled mouth.
Really? Well, here.
All right. You know what? No more calls, man. I'm sick to my stomach of it. 1-800-4- Yeah, George Takei's gay. Big wow. Like we didn't know, George. I'm joking around. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Television show we're working on is called Teachers. It's going to be on NBC. Mid-season show. I don't know when it's going to air. Right now, we're waiting for one of our actors, one of our star actors, Sarah Alexander, to get here from England. She's got pneumonia. She got pneumonia, and I got a theory on that, and I'd like to share it with you. I'm kidding. He's going to do a music bed thing, you know. And here's my theory. It all began one night. I think that these actresses are trying to lose so much weight. You know what? They're eating like a leaf of lettuce. Guess what? Pneumonia. Are you kidding? Have something to eat, baby. A big steak. Go on down to Ted's and let him put the meat in, you know, well, you know, like he says in your beep. Get yourself a steak, baby, and we can't wait to see you, Sarah. And I'm going to have the whole cast, as long as she's not infectious, we're going to have the whole cast in here the week that the show debuts. And we'll talk and we'll just, it'll be convivial and we will rib each other. And it'll be a really groovy and beautiful thing. So I hope you can join us for that. Now, I have this news story that I wanted to get to because this kind of freaked me out a little bit. And by the way, coming up, we have an interview with a man whose Halloween costume at his church Halloween festival caused a racial incident and a lawsuit. We'll be talking with him. The 63-year-old Muhammad Ali, who has suffered from disease for many years, has begun to show signs of decline. His daughter, Layla, told the Los Angeles Times, "I feel like the disease is progressing," she said. "Different things start happening as you get older. I've noticed a change in him, something that goes along with Parkinson's. It's painful for me because I would love to sit down and talk to my dad about the way he used to be when he was my age, when he was in his prime, because we are so much alike. I can't do that. I can't share a lot of things with him." I thought Parkinson's was just a nervous disorder. I didn't think it had anything to do with your mind. See, I never believed there was anything wrong with Muhammad Ali's mind. I thought it was a physical ailment. He couldn't speak clearly because simply of the neurons not traveling properly, not because he's, mentally incapacitated in some way. Am I wrong about that? I mean, she says at age 27, Layla is in her sixth year as a professional boxer. She's compiled a 21-0 record with 18 knockouts. She says she wants to talk about boxing with the former three-time heavyweight champion. God, I guess so. Your father was the greatest heavyweight fighter in history, and you're now a boxer yourself, and you can't talk to him about it. You're a girl. Sure, it's weird. Yes. Notice how I'm just ignoring that. But good luck with your career, Ms. Ali. Oy. That's terrible. If you got chicks that do jiu-jitsu, there's nothing. We see a woman doing karate, it's not unfeminine, is it? You see a woman who knows how to do judo, it looks normal. You know, it looks, yeah, okay. I see a girl in a, one of them bathrobes that they wear with the black belt. What is it called? I used to know what it was called. I took taekwondo for like a year. It's called a yojimbo, I think. A gi? That's what Doug Danger is, isn't he? A gi journalist? A gi man and a gi journalist. And George Takei just came out today. He said he's gi. Anyway, but boxing, for some reason, doesn't strike me as a chick thing. But hey, you know what? We live and we learn, baby. And I'm a man with an open mind. Sure. "We don't talk about boxing," she told the Times. "He might come to a fight and say, 'You're bad.' But he was never one to talk much about boxing with us. That was not him, and he doesn't talk much these days anyway. It takes him too much energy to talk." Well, that must be it. And by the way, what more do you need than for your father, the greatest heavyweight to have ever lived, to just say, "You suck"? "Hey, Dad, come on, I want you." "Okay, you stink." Well, that's perfect. "Dad, what do you think?"
"You're bad."
All right. Layla, who lives in Los Angeles, said her father feels like he's trapped inside his body. He can't think. He has things he wants to say, but his lips sometimes just don't move to get it out. I understand now. So he's mentally, he's fine, but the body is not allowing him to do the things he wants. It must be like total, like freaky karma to have once had such mastery of your body, and now you can't do it. "He has his good days and his bad days. He's taken a lot of different medications. Sometimes his speech is so slurred. Might as well stop taking the medicine, I guess. You can't really understand, but he definitely knows what's going on. That's for sure. He sees everything." "How does her famous father spend his time?" asked the reporter. He takes life easy. He likes doing simple things. He loves to draw. He likes to color. He likes coloring books. No, I'm kidding. He likes to clip pictures out of magazines. He likes to do magic tricks. Are you sure he's not mentally... No, he likes to clip things out of magazines and scotch tape them to the refrigerator. He likes to do magic tricks. One day, he said, "Watch this," and he crooked his thumb in half and crooked his other thumb in half and made it look like he was splitting his thumb. He likes to eat toothpaste. "It doesn't take a whole lot to keep him entertained, but his attention span is very short when the subject is something more than that." Now, probably tomorrow, I'll get a letter from someone who only heard that one 10-second bit and will say, "How dare you? How dare you speak of the great Muhammad Ali?" You didn't hear I was reading about the man's life. Muhammad Ali was the greatest. Nobody will ever tell me any different. I used to argue with people when he was fighting. Who's he fought? Don't give me this crap about how people loved him. People hated his guts. Don't give me that stuff. Oh, the people just loved Muhammad Ali. No, they didn't. It wasn't just the press. People said the press was on. People didn't like him because he was an uppity black guy. He beat everybody that came along, from Jimmy Young to George Foreman to Joe Frazier to those tin cans from Europe, that Jean-Paul Belmondo jackball from Belgium, that freaking limey that was a parachutist. kicked all her asses, kicked Leon Spink's ass, and I got to take a break. Oh, for God's sake. What?
Muhammad Ali, did he ever fight Rocky Marciano? No. He dodged him.
Rocky Marciano was dead.
Bull crap.
We'll be right back. Yes,
Phil
he's dead.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is a terrible story, but we were talking about prize fights in the days of closed-circuit television. When I was really young, I went to see a Laker basketball game on closed-circuit TV. They were playing the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Milwaukee Bucks came out. In those days, the entire five guys, 1971, they were all black guys. And it was unusual for those days because sometimes, you'd see maybe one or two. And the guy standing behind me when they introduced the Bucks, I hear him say, "How are you going to beat a spade flush?" And I just turned around and I said, "You racist piece of crap."
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.